So earlier this week, Brian Kelly was doing a Q&A. I believe this was just an internal.
It's a local affiliate.
Oh, it's a local affiliate. Okay.
It was like a.
He's doing an interview.
ABC affiliate. Yeah.
He was doing an interview.
Yeah.
And he was asked about recruiting defensive linemen.
Yeah.
And we're going to play the whole clip for you because I know some people have just kind of focused in on a very short part of it. I'm going to play the whole clip. It's about a minute and a half.
Okay.
But here was Brian Kelly about how difficult it is to go out and get defensive linemen in this day of the NIL.
So the D-line, interior D-lineman, where are you right now with that?
Well, I think I made it pretty clear in a number of the press conferences that I had that we were in the market in recruiting in the transfer portal looking for defensive linemen. It hasn't fared very well, quite frankly, because, you know, we're selling something a little bit differently, and that is we want to recruit. We want to engage, build relationships. We want to develop, retain, and have you and have success. We're not in the market of buying players, and unfortunately, right now, that's what some guys are looking for. They want to be bought. And look, I understand NIL is part of this, and we have an incredible collective. We have very, very generous opportunities around the greater Baton Rouge area for NIL opportunities. So they are here, but we're not going to go out and buy players. That's not what this is about. This was never about that. We will develop you. We will get you ready for the next step, as we did with Jaden Daniels, as we did with Malik Nabers, as we did with Brian Thomas. We developed three defensive linemen that all got drafted this year, and we'll do that again. But if you're just looking to get paid, you're looking in the wrong place. If you'd like all the things that we do here in developing our players, bringing you into a championship program, playing in front of the best fan base in America, playing for championships, and having an opportunity for NIL, you should be a Tiger. But if you just want to get paid, this is not the place for you.
So that drew some interesting response. I mean, obviously, a lot of people liked what they heard, especially in Louisiana. There were others who were like, man, there's a dude who's way behind the times. What are you doing? This isn't the way this world works. So you get into the usual culture war type stuff when it comes to this issue. Stephen Godfrey, who we've had on the Grum, friend of the Grum, your boy, tweeted out, so, who's LSU hiring in 26?
Mm-hmm.
Basically implying, like, this old way of thinking is not going to keep you employed for very long.
And I think part of it, too, with him, I love that I know these random things. He's married into a Louisiana family. His wife and then thus all of her family are LSU fans. So he hears from those fans all the time.
Sure.
And a lot of them are very out on Brian Kelly. They are not super into the Brian Kelly era so far.
Because they're all listening to me.
Because they're all idiots. Gumbo munchers, as you call them, I believe. They're all morons. But go Brian Kelly.
As I heard that clip, I mean, just close your eyes for a little bit. Couldn't you hear Matt Rhule saying something very similar to that?
Basically, the back half, yeah.
Maybe not in those exact words, but the same sentiment of, hey, if you want to come here and be developed, we're about relationships, we're about bringing people in, developing them over time, turning them into pro prospects. If you're just here looking for a bag, this might not be the place for you. Now, again, Matt Rhule may not say that in the exact terms. He might have a more, dare I say, diplomatic way of saying it. But that, as I was listening to what Brian Kelly was saying, I'm like, it doesn't sound that unusual to me, or at least something that we wouldn't hear around here. And I get, you know, there are some folks who believe, I saw some Notre Dame folks respond to me today and said, well, that was the criticism of Kelly before, was he didn't want to recruit very hard. He didn't want to work very hard at it. And so this, he's just using this as an excuse for their lack of being able to bring in any high-level defensive tackle transfer.
Yeah, and that's when I was – did this come out last night or was this today? I can't remember. Last night, right?
I think it was earlier this – yeah, it was 21 hours ago. Yesterday.
So last night, okay.
Yesterday.
So when I was reading a lot of the responses, it seemed like that was the criticism of – Like, they tried to get players. They were unable to get players. And so this is his way of spinning that to say, no, it's not that we don't pay them. It's that we're looking for a very particular type of guy.
Sure.
Look, I'm, as always with these types of scenarios, I'm sure that there is some spinning going on.
Sure.
But, I mean, you're certainly right in terms of the things that he said. I mean, Matt Rhule says that. And it's interesting because with Nebraska, we have heard various discontents about their NIL operation. And, I mean, certainly things seem to have changed in the very short amount of time that Mr. Yogurt's been on the job. And he loves 1890. Troy Dannon, that is. He loves 1890. He's embracing 1890, where I think that it was a bit at arm's length with Trev. Ross emails in. And he sent this in a half hour ago, so before we had even mentioned it, really. But he says, what a whiny excuse maker. They don't buy players, bull freaking crap. It's part of the rules and landscape of college football. Anyone believe they have players on the roster that aren't getting huge paydays? All you had to do was say LSU is very competitive in the NIL landscape and opportunities for their players to excel in that arena are incredible, but they need to make sure the fit is right and a player simply looking for the highest payday may not fit their culture, and they'll keep looking for the right player and coach up the kids on the roster in the meantime. That's what any rational coach would say. He appears to be setting the stage to blame something or someone. But what he said, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's exactly what he said. He might have been a little more blunt about it.
He did this to create a built-in excuse and deflect blame if it doesn't go right. I actually, last night, I hadn't watched it because I was like, I'll just wait until today to watch it. And then I hear it, and you're right. I mean, there's that very specific quote that got blown out of proportion, or that was everyone focused on, rather. But if you listen to the whole quote, exactly what Ross is asking for in the first paragraph is what he said.
It is what he said.
Yeah.
It is what he said. And listen, you know, I think we have to be able to acknowledge, just as we can acknowledge, that how Matt Rhule wants to build things is going to be different from how Deion Sanders wants to build things.
Sure.
And those two things can still exist in the same universe. And that, you know, certainly the how it's done could be an issue. And I understand that. I mean, certainly the lack of tact at which Deion operated, and we'll talk about that here momentarily, Max Olson's going to join us, that's a problem.
Sure.
But the philosophy of what you want to do, I think, you know, I would like to think that it's no different than pro sports teams who decide, we're going to go out and we're going to get some great free agents versus those who want to build through the draft.
I understand.
That's
what you're,
fine.
I understand what you're saying. I would, I guess, if I want to argue with you, I would say LSU has to recruit at that high of a level because they are in the SEC. Like, Nebraska wanting to build one way makes sense because they're Nebraska. They have to build that way, in my opinion, if they're going to succeed. I don't think you can build that way there because I don't think you can build that way in that conference. Like, you have to be loaded with the five stars because everyone's loaded with the five stars. And yes, the difference then ultimately will be how good are you at developing? How good are you at game planning on Saturdays?
Right. But the point is, and this is assuming that if you're LSU, because I believe he is just talking about transfers.
Yeah.
But if they want to go out and still recruit the five star defensive tackles, and they're not, you know, cutting, you know, living on the cheap there, I think that's still a very valid way to go about things versus going out in the transfer portal. Because you would think, and I don't know how this world works. I've never negotiated with a college athlete or a prospective college athlete. But I would think that the asking price for an already made high-level defensive tackle is going to be a higher price than an incoming four or five star.
Because he's a grown man at that point in time.
I could be wrong because certainly parents can get involved and things can get a little dicey. But again, when I heard that quote that we just played, the first thing I thought of was, man, it kind of sounds like something Matt Rhule might have said.
And I think you're right. I guess maybe it just says something about the difference between those programs and the fan base and how they approach things. By the way, I looked up the 24/7 composite team rankings for last year's class, aka a couple months ago. Georgia was number one. They had five stars. Alabama was number two overall. They had five stars. Texas, now in their league, was number six overall. They had four five stars. And then LSU was number seven. They had one. So, like, that's the sandbox that they're playing in.
Sure.
You know? And so, I will say this. I think a large part of the reaction is a disbelief and a dislike in Brian Kelly, where he's going to say something and a lot of people are just going to be like, I don't trust you, because they view him as a snake oil salesman. I mean, we got a joke of a text right away that I thought was hilarious from the 402. Holy bleep, Brian Kelly has lost his southern accent. Like, people don't like the guy. And so when he says something that it's like, oh, look at the idiot again doing something dumb or making excuses, I understand why people are going to jump on it, even though he's a fine American.
Fine American, but he's lost his Cajun accent.
Yeah, he's changing before our eyes.
He's turning LSU into Nebraska. Man, I'm sure glad I didn't jump on that bus.
Yeah.
I'm sure glad I'm proud happy. Member of the Marcus Freeman Nation.
Hey, speaking of handsome, Marcus Freeman, handsome.
Well, yeah, but he's not a pro quarterback.
He's not a pro quarterback. But if handsomeness made a difference in being a head coach,
we're still looking, by the way, we're still looking for who is the most successful, ugly NFL quarterback of all
Peyton.
Time.
I think it's Peyton.
I mean, that's a very not mean thing. I mean, Peyton. He's got the five head, but he's not,
We're not going to get him on our show anytime soon. Hey, Peyton, you want to come talk about this show? You have a television show. Do you want to mention it? You can come on our radio show.
Yeah. Ugliest, best NFL quarterback.
Ugliest, best quarterback of all time.
Maybe it's Roethlisberger.
Maybe. Maybe.
All right, coming up next, Max Olson of The Athletic. The story that launched 1,000 angry tweets.
Oh, yeah, and they're still coming in.
And some of them were directed at him, but then pretty soon all the attention went elsewhere because of what other people were doing.
Uh-huh.
Other people who maybe wear cowboy hats and sunglasses and,
and
carry around their Louis.
Okay, I thought you were making fun of the Cowboys AI thing again.
No, Deion doesn't look that dumb.
Okay, good.
Max Olson next on 1620 The Zone.